This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast recording entitled Showing Business Ops Some Love, How Process Improvement in Your Business Operations Can Give You the Boost You Need to Engage with Legal. I am your moderator, Hadi Dubadavakis. I'm a Process Innovation Senior Specialist at Sherman & Sterling, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by our speaker, Cassie Verdovic, who's the Managing Director of Practice Management and Innovation at Paul Hastings. Welcome, Cassie, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Harriet. Glad to be here.
All right. So to kick us off, Cassie, can you tell us what is process mapping and why should we care if it's used in the business side or legal operations?
Sure. So quite literally, I would say process mapping is the mapping of a process. Law firms and clients, we're not always in alignment on objectives, though. Law firms want to make money. Clients want to save money. I believe that process mapping can benefit both sides with a slightly different message to both. From a law firm perspective, I think it's really important because what we sell is time. Time is finite. Try as we might, we cannot create more of it. So we have to figure out how to do better with what we've actually got. Law firms also bill in tenths of an hour. So for us, time is literally money and it adds up fast. Despite the fact that we law firms do benchmark based on the billable hour, we need to ensure that our work is being handled efficiently. Our clients are savvy, increasingly so. They know when something is being overworked and they're pushing back, which I think they're doing rightly so. And client relationships are more important than ever. Process mapping enables efficiency. It makes it very clear what steps should be followed. It provides checklists, templates, best practice documents that can be reviewed. It identifies which level of timekeeper should be handling the task and approximately how long it should take. It's also a great training retention vehicle, ensuring that our younger lawyers are gaining the experience that they need to advance in their career. I think it's also a client development vehicle because it helps attorneys stay on budget and on track, which our clients love. From a client standpoint, it gives them comfort that their matters are being handled efficiently and deliberately, that they're receiving a leanly staffed team, and it provides, most importantly, predictability and predictability in pricing.
Great. So what sage advice can you provide to those who are new to integrating process on the business side of the house? And are there any specific departments that are best to start with? What are the quick and easy wins if you're going for getting started with process mapping on the business side?
I mean, there's a lot of different business processes that, you know, you could map out. For example, we're working on bringing on a new business intake system right now. And that type of a system touches almost everybody across the entire firm, and it's massive. And so thinking about it from a process standpoint and figuring out who are the people that need to be involved and what are the different pieces of it that we can do and what systems should we look at and how should we deploy them and who needs to be involved. Like, all of that is fairly methodical as well and kind of lends itself to this type of the process mapping look, if not an official, you know, process mapping project. I tend to think in my role now and in roles that I've held in the past, I'm always thinking about how to improve things or how to do things differently and where maybe we can take other steps to actually make something better, make something faster, be more efficient, be more effective. And I don't always turn it into a full-on process map, but I feel like in my kind of role and a lot of the other business roles that evolved in law firms, a lot of people are thinking that way. And they're coming up with, if we're going to do this, you know, what are the best ways that we can do this? What are the systems we should use? What resources should be involved? And how do we make it faster? You know, right now in our today world, we have to use something like Excel, for example, which has a lot of benefits, but also has a lot of downfalls. So what are we doing today and how might we streamline it in the future? I don't know if that really answers your question, but that's kind of how I think about it from the business side. I personally have focused more on the process improvement on the legal side in terms of actually facilitating process mapping sessions and coming up with maps that are used in practice.
Absolutely. And I think you brought up a good point about having a lot of different people. I think that we absolutely need to foster a culture within law firms that assumes everyone is looking for even small process improvements. So, and also driving home the point that it doesn't need to be a massive project. Anything that saves you 5 minutes of time is a process improvement. So it doesn't need to be a massive overhaul of anything.
Right. And five minutes in our world is expensive. And you reminded me of something. And this is actually kind of what sold me on process mapping. Once upon a time, One of my old bosses, she used to win people over on this concept by making them walk through the process of ordering a pizza. And granted, this is like before it was as simple as opening up your Uber Eats app or seeing a recommendation, clicking a button, order it, and then tracking your delivery. But it was something everyone could relate to. And she would ask people to just describe their process of ordering a pizza. And without fail, people would start to explain. And then, oh, wait, no, I do that. Oh, wait, I do that. And should I do that? And, oh, wait, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. Like they were doing something inefficient and they would realize it on the spot and it didn't make sense. And they would just kind of word vomit, kind of going on and on, just in the simple topic of ordering a pizza. And by the end of that conversation, they realized, well, I'm not really doing that right. And that was how she kind of got everybody on board with the idea that you can map anything, you can improve anything, and that time really does ultimately add up. And that's why this is so beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that exercise. All right. So now for the million-dollar question, how do we make the leap from kind of the business operations process improvement to legal process improvement? How do we convince legal teams to get invested in process improvement? Because as you mentioned earlier in the call, you know, for every minute that they spend on things, they get to bill. So how do we convince them that process improvement is ultimately in their best interest in the long run?
Yeah, you know, law firms want to grow revenue. They want to increase their profitability. And so part of this is certainly adding billable hours, especially given that it's law firms that still largely track our progress against billable hour requirements. But it's adding billable hours. And I make that distinction because not all billable hours are actually truly billable to a client these days, right? When hours become inefficient, they're handled by the wrong timekeepers, or there's excessive work done on something because somebody wasn't trained to do something, clients aren't paying for that anymore. And that creates relationship friction as well. It's not great. So process mapping is a way for attorneys within the legal practices to think methodically about the legal service delivery of a specific type of matter, including who should be handling the tasks, how much time they should take, what sorts of resources or precedent can be created and shared with the team to save time and ultimately, again, delight our clients, increase the client relationship. Ultimate goal, increase revenue, improve profitability. By doing these types of things, all of those steps get you there. Again, we can't create more time. So if we can better use the time that we have, that's how they ultimately, not only can they make more money, they save more time to spend it elsewhere in more valuable ways, but they really solidify that client relationship. It's their way of showing the client, we're in this together, we get it, and we know how to deliver what you're asking for, which is ultimately predictability.
Right, great points there. So is there anything else that you can think of that we can really change or alter our approach to the legal side of the house? You mentioned earlier that on the business side of the house, there is an expectation that people are more process-oriented. From the legal side of the house, I personally think that we should introduce the concept of process improvement in as early as law school, and to create a culture there of, yes, you're learning the law, and especially in your first couple of years at a law firm, you're trying to learn how to do everything related to law, but that doesn't mean that there's not opportunity for you to identify things that aren't working as efficiently as they can be. So is there anything else that you think is a good approach to convincing the legal side of the house, you know, process mapping is important, process improvement is important?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to hit on things that are pain points for them. So I work with plenty of partners and practices right now where they don't like how something is going. There's an issue that they're having or multiple issues that they're having. You know, the client is regularly requesting a write down for certain types of work that's done, or we are going over budget regularly on certain types of work, or all the, not just all the time. We do a bad job at predicting, and then we go over, things change and we don't regularly communicate that change in scope. So I think you have to hit on solving some pain points for them, and you have to get them to be open-minded. They are slow to change. They're not very resilient. They're highly cynical and skeptical. All of those things make them great at their job, but they're a tough audience for an exercise like this. If you can get them to be open-minded, I've seen the conversion happen. I've seen it with my own eyes, sometimes when I'm facilitating, sometimes when I've been in the audience. And people get it, and they get excited by it. If you can get somebody into a room talking about what they do, it really does have an ultimate benefit. I also think there's some hidden benefits that have really always been part of this, but they're so much more apparent today. 2 years into a global pandemic, the so-called war on talent we're going through, demand through the roof for many of our practices, I think that an exercise like this can also help with retention and morale. It makes sure that our associates aren't falling through the cracks and that they're getting the experience and the type of work that we really want them to be getting. It should help with burnout too. So even some of our partners that they've been burnt out from everything that they've been carrying on their own shoulders the last 2 years, they need to breathe a little bit, learn that they can push the work down, where they see again, remind themselves where they should push the work down, even if they felt it was easier to do it themselves because they're working in their own house during this pandemic. You know, nobody's in the office next door doesn't mean that nobody's really there to help. So I think there are, especially now in the world we're in, there's so many more opportunities and touch points and ways to message this. You just have to convince them to be a little bit open-minded. And from there, I think it mostly works itself out.
That's a really great point about, you know, helping the attorneys see how their workload can change, especially, you know, I think at the beginning of this, all of us thought it was going to be more temporary than it has been. But yeah, what a boon that would be to everyone if these processes are mapped and everyone knows what to expect and everyone knows what they need to do. And the senior attorneys can trust that things are getting done the way that they would like them to get done. Thank you so much, Cassie. This was so great. Thank you for your time. Thank you to the audience for tuning in. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.